Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
To give you guys some background, where you fit in our current, I think we can call it sermon series. If you enjoyed tonight and you would love to hear what we said the previous 2 weeks, it's on the internet. You can just go to shofaronline.org, go to audio downloads, find Secunda, and everything is there. At the moment, we're asking a question, or we seek to answer a few questions through a sermon series. We're talking through why we do what we do at this church. All right? And so, to just give you a quick idea, if we can go to the next slide, that'll be great. What we do is we talk about CS3 or CSSS, and we want to give ourselves a simple vision so that we can constantly ask ourselves, are we doing here what we feel God says we must be doing? So CSSS, it just stands for church. Normally, not always, but normally someone will pitch up at church. You maybe find us on Facebook or someone will invite you. And for a lot of you guys, church would be the first place you find yourself. What we want to do is we want to help you move and grow. And so the next step is a small group, right? Church, one-way conversation. I speak, you listen. The band leads us, and there's a sense of partaking in worship, right? But there's not a lot of personal discussions in church. Don't really have time for that, except if we were a church in Zimbabwe, and church would be 5 hours long, and we just do everything. We'll talk to one another, we'll talk to God, and we can come an hour late because there's still a lot of time left. And we're trying to be quite efficient, so this is where the word is being preached at church, and you hear and you learn. Right? We want to lead you to small group where you can build real relationships with other people and start to share about the fears and the anxieties and your experience with God, and also form a healthy view of God. Then, this is where we are tonight, is self. All right, we as a congregation want you to grow yourself. We don't want to give you, spoon feed you the word of God every week. We don't want to be the expert as a worship team or pastor, and you like, oh, thank you, pastor, reg merkie, jy gaan huis toe, and then you don't discover God for yourself. That would be such a pity. We want you to take ownership of your own spiritual growth, and we call that self, and then we want you to serve. We want you to go beyond. Some people at the moment that's doing serve is a bunch of guys that's in Zimbabwe at the moment on a mission. They are there. We go to Ludwig every year. We've been there as a church for longer than 10 years, as Shofar globally. This church only exists for about, six? Something like that. But in any case, we go to Zimbabwe every year because God has called us to walk a road with a man there, Ludwig, that's alone. And so every year we go and we serve and we take ourselves to him, and we are friends to him, and we take whatever resources we can. And so there's a journey for you that goes way beyond sitting here on a Sunday and becoming spiritually fat, you know, only receiving. At some stage, God wants to use you. Amen? While on that point, let's just quickly bow our heads and let's just pray for that mission team. Lord, I just want to thank you for Hanu, Estelle, and the team that's in Zimbabwe at the moment. Thank you that you took them through the border safe. Thank you that you are with them. And thank you that you will show them exactly what they must do in Zimbabwe. Lord, we want to thank you for Ludwig that's working so hard week in, week out for many years now, giving his life to those people in Zimbabwe. We pray that you will strengthen him through our team, that you will keep them safe and bring them back safely. And tonight, Lord, as the word is being ministered, I ask that you'll touch every heart at exactly the place it should be touched, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So just quickly, 2 weeks ago, we had This Is What We Do, part one, why church is what we asked. You can get that on the internet. Then last week, we had part two, why small groups. You can get that. And now we are here tonight with part three. You need to grow yourself. Just playing with the words there. something needs to happen between yourself and God. And it's great that there's church, we just spoke about it, it's from God. People gathered as early as Acts, they gathered in the temple and in one another's homes. It's from God that there is something such as church where we come together, and also in a smaller place where we can meet and share. But what a pity if you are a passenger when it comes to church or the meetings of believers and you never grow your own faith. If that happens, then I would surely fail you as a pastor. We would fail you as leadership of this church if we don't help you develop your relationship with God. Amen? Imagine just coming to church for 10 years and never growing. I'd stop coming after the first year, to be honest. This is very important for God, and we're going to talk about this tonight. Now, I'm going to take a very fun detour to get to my point tonight. Is that okay? When we go to the airport, normally Vian is with me or Regis, where do we always stop? Muchachos, okay? Muchachos by Carnival Mall. Sometimes a detour is great. No one knows what we're talking about here, but when they taste muchachos, their lives will change. Anyways, that's not the detour I was talking about. I want to talk quickly about to create and to make. Just hold on, and we're going to come to you and God. What do you call it when someone makes something out of nothing? Anyone wants to take a chance? I mean, that's a pretty good clue. Sonia, Sema, to create. Can mankind create anything? No. You can only make. You can only use substance that's here on earth. Sasol does not create petrol. They make it. They take different stuff and there it is. You create when something comes into being when there was nothing. There's one creator. God. One. There's no place on earth where you can go and find nothing. Even if you see nothing, even if it's black, if it's dark, you're in a cave somewhere, there is something because you are inhaling it and it's sitting together, H2O, and that's water, HO and O2, and it's coming out CO2, and it's there. And you are standing on something. You cannot create, only God can. You can make. But let me tell you something about God. He creates, but he also makes. He loves to make. I'm going to show it to you quickly. Are you with me for now? I'm going to play with a few ideas. Smarter people than me came up with this. Rick Warren says, when you learn something from someone and you tell it for the first time, you say, someone once said, and then you repeat the smart line that you've learned. And if you say it again, you say, I heard it once said. And then when you share it the third time, you say, as I've always said. You know? And so, as theologians, we need to build on one another's shoulders. But this is very cool. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was not there. Then it goes on. After that, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now you sense the anticipation. The Spirit is now there and he's moving. And then God said, let there be light. Is that something he makes or something he creates? Creates. Let there be light. Boom. Doesn't come from anything but from his voice. He calls it into life. Now, you're probably wondering, well, how are we going to get to growing a personal relationship with Christ? Hold on. Some of you are going to enjoy this. Let there be light. God also chooses to make stuff. In one sense, God is like a farmer. Sometimes he just puts seed in ground and he wants it to grow. Now, the seed would not be there without him, also not the ground, also not the water, but he also likes not to say tree, poof, and then there's a tree. He loves it when it grows. And so he creates, but he also makes. Check this out. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation. Who's making the vegetation? The earth. Who made the earth? God. All right? Check verse 12. The earth brought forth vegetations and plants. So who brought the vegetations and plants? The earth. So is plants created or made? It's made. God created the soil, the light, everything. And then he says, now come out. Are you with me? Don't lose me here. He makes it. He's a creator, but he also likes to make. Check this out. When God makes something, he speaks to where he wants it to come from, be sustained by, and where it should return to. We're just being a bit academic, but don't lose me here. Now we're going to apply it to the next slide. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetations, plants yielding seed and fruit, bearing fruit, which is their seed, each according to his kind, and the earth brought forth vegetations. Okay, so God said, let the earth bring forth the plants. Are you with me? Whose job is it to sustain the plants? The earth. Where does the plants return to after it's died? The earth. Are you with me? When God wants something, he says where it must come to, what must sustain it, and where it must go back to. Check this one out. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds. Now, for us, it doesn't make sense that he grond dieren maak, but for God, it makes sense. He says, earth brings forth. So what feeds and sustains the animals? The earth, the healthy soil. Where does the animal go once it died? Back to the earth. You see, God is very smart. He makes animals. And just next slide just shows it to you. These guys knew it. Who remembers that seed? Who remembers that? But Dad, we eat the deer. What does he say, little Simba? He says, yes, they eat the grass. We eat the deer, and then we go back to the swell. Oh, who remembers that? Now, there's one part of the equation that they did not understand, but they, the circle of life, or the Lion King fans are just thinking, circle of life. In any case, so it's, God knew about it way before Mufasa. Any case, a quick recap before I make a very strong point. When God wanted something, he speaks to what he wanted it to come from. It's not great grammar, but it works. Be sustained by, and where it should return to. What brought you forth? Let's go to the next slide. Then God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Wow. You're different than an animal. Did you know that? Not the same. You're different. And so God created man in his own image. Some of you have an objection. I'm going to get to that now. God wanted you, next slide, so he made you in this way. You came from God. You can only be sustained by God. And by his grace, you were made to go back to God. Everyone with me? Now there's a problem. Genesis 2 verse 7. Just being a bit academic, I'm going to shift the gear just now. Don't lose me. Then the Lord formed the man from the dust. So some of you are saying, nah, they're the same as the animals. You come from the dust. Who remembered that just a minute ago? Anyone? Your body is made from dust, yes. Do you agree? What sustains your body? Meat. Broccoli. Okay, I hate it, but it apparently helps. I go van groenkoeldrank, but it's different, they say. I'm going to steal a joke. Can I steal a joke quickly from someone else? You're getting sustained by the earth. Vegetables, fruit, and ice cream. Really? The cows eat the grass. Cows make milk. Milk makes. Therefore, ice cream is healthy. And all the women, all the pregnant ladies like, yes, 5 tubs. Ice cream is just, it's just a smoothie of vegetables. Your body functions like the body of an animal. Are you with me? It comes from the ground. The dust made it. Then the ground sustained it. You eat it, the animals and the fruit. And then one day, as we know with our grandparents, 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 they end up in the ground, and there's a substance that their body puts back. So in that sense, Mufasa was not too wrong. But your eternal part, your spirit, did not come from the dust. Let us make man in our image and likeness. No animal shares that with us. Check the sequence in the Bible. It's very interesting. Adam says he's alone. God says name the animals after that. He's alone. So now all the animals are coming. He's looking for a solution for his loneliness. Elephant, oh no. He's going on and on and on and on. There's no one after that. God makes Eve from man. We are different. And we know it. There's stuff in us that's driving us to be out of this world. We want to be above. And so if people don't find Christ, they end up in weird places. They find works of miracles, dark magic and stuff, but we want to get out. Are you with me? Because we are made for more than this world from the beginning. You came from Him. You can only be sustained by Him. And you were made to go back to Him. So if a plant, follow me, yeah? If a plant says to the soil, I'm out, okay? What happens? Death, right? What happens if man should say to God, I'm out? Death. God sustains man. Soil sustains plant. Adam says, and Eve, God, we're out. And so their body did not die, but carried on like the animals. Are you with me? But spiritually, there was a death. That's not my idea. Let's go to the next slide. And you were, next one, I think. Yes. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together by Christ. By grace, you have been saved. If you know Jesus today, you became alive. Boom. He started it. Only He can now sustain you spiritually. And when He comes back, you'll go back to Him. Do you follow me? Right. That's important. I just got a few thoughts there. I don't think you'll be fast enough to write it down. That's not a challenge. It's just a lot on the screen. Let's go to the next slide. As a church, it is our responsibility to lead you into a growing, life-giving personal relationship with Jesus, where you grow and sustain your spirit by growing in intimacy with Jesus, and then ultimately return to Him. I wanted to make it longer. Return to Him with all the people you've reached on earth. Going back to Him. If this church does not provide the opportunity for you to grow personally, we are failing you, and I must pack my bags and go back to pretty Cape Town. because this is a waste of time. If you only come, and if you only spectate, and the pastor is the pro, and you are this nice woman else, we fail you terribly. And I have to answer to God for that. A church must help people to grow their self. So why is self so important to us? So in many places where believers gather, and this is a very, 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 this is something you find in some cultures, is where the pastor or the priest must have the highest honor. It looks a bit like this. This is the pastor. If we go to the next slide, there's a picture on there. Die rekenaar is net op iets. One back. It made a double. The pastor looks like that. The spiritual perfect giant. He's sitting on the stage. He's awesome. He's got the powerful prayer, the handkerchief, everything. He's so great. And if you need anything, you must go to him. Because God forbid you have to pray for someone. No, he's a pastor. He must pray. That is nonsense. But often that is the case. And this is how the congregation looks. If we go to the next slide. They uproot the trees. I'm out. Okay? And so we are trying, and our heart is, because we see it in scriptures, that everyone must be that pretty tree. Are you with me? Do we all bear the same fruit? No. But we all must be healthy, rooted into Christ in intimacy. So it's not an idea, a nice idea, that we make it a part of our vision. This is very important for us. And it should be important to you as well. So I've got four things. I'm going to just shift the gear from being a bit academic to going devotional. And this is easy. Grow yourself. Four things that happens when you remain intimate with God. And my heart is for each one of you to get to these four things. Let's move our way to number one. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul. Check this verse in Acts. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So we're talking about being intimate with God. Talking about knowing him personally. God loves it when we sing together. We see it clearly in Psalms. There's something that happens when we are here together. But when you do it on your own, it's also very special. In the morning, you put on a CD, you start singing to him. You enter his presence. You are growing yourself. Now, the one informs the other. So church gets you going, and we want you to carry on in the week and have a relationship with him for yourself. Psalm 92, I'm just throwing a few scriptures. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. Number one, when you remain intimate with God, you become healthy in your spirit. All right? You may be a part of a gym or part of a CrossFit, and your body may look very, very healthy, but you might be sick in your spirit. Are you with me? Understand what I'm saying? When we plug into God, can we go to the next slide? Or do we have, you become healthy, you flourish. This is very important, because I'm telling you what, the spiritual health, you can only get that with God. And you are born with a drive, because let us make man, only God can truly sustain you. Now, if Christ comes and open your eyes through the Holy Spirit, you'll become healthy, you can grow. If you don't find that, you will drive into dark places, like a bucky that's going 120, and you're just going. But you will not stay a passive, you will go. Your body will drive you to find. And so, like Vian shared, it took Vian at one stage to drugs, because there's just something that must be more. Something must help me. For some of us, it's got to do with acquiring things, and that's a temptation for a lot of us. It's got to do with the car, the house, but you'll never stop. But there's only one place to arrive where one day you'll say it was worth it, and that's with God. Every other avenue will end in emptiness. Now let me just apply that for you. If you, I'm not talking to anyone specifically, I want you to see this. Marry someone that is not at that healthy place. You've got your work cut out for you. Because that search is going on. And they're going to come to you for that fulfillment. And Gretchen cannot give that to Hendrik. So what often happens is a man comes to his wife, you must do it in my spirit. I want to be healthy. But she can't. So what does he do? Someone else must have it. And so he moves on. But then the story repeats. Are you with me? Only God can touch you in that place and cause you to become healthy in your spirit, to flourish. Eblom, ne? That's God's heart. You have to grow yourself in your spirit. Amen. That's a good sermon, keyboard. Great. I'm just playing around with you. John 5 verse 19. So Jesus said to them, we're going on. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does. That's Jesus, okay? Speaking to the people, saying, okay, you guys say I'm amazing. Let me tell you something. I do nothing unless I see the Father do it. And Christ often withdrew to the mountain, sent all the disciples away to be with God. And he would come down from the mountains often with new vision. And he chose the disciples after coming from the mountains. And he says, let us go to that side. So when he went to the place where he was in private prayer to God, he would see the will of the Father so that he could do it. Are you with me? And he also says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Jesus' life of prayer and intimacy with God gave him vision where to go, and the Spirit in him gave him the power to do it. Then Jesus goes and he says, I'm leaving, I'm sending you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Now, the way he helped me, he can help you. Everyone with me? Just check this before we make our point. John 15 verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. What must sustain the branch? The vine. God is a vine, you are the branch. You're made by God. Only God can sustain you. If he sustains you, you bear fruit. Are you with me? Number two, four things that happens when you remain intimate with God is you become fruitful. The first time you come to God, you're a mess, okay? And for me, 15 years later, still. But stuff is starting to change. I mean, you're becoming joyful, you're becoming a blessing to those around you as you remain plugged in and switched on. You start to bear fruit. And in John 15 it says, this is the desire of the Father that you bear much fruit. What a pity if only the worship leader and the pastor bears fruit. We failed you, close the door, don't have to rent this place anymore. We're done. We are all the branches. We all are invited to be intimate with a Father and to bear fruit. Isn't that amazing? You are invited. What a shame that pastors through the ages have lifted themselves as the superheroes. It's wrong. We are all the same, and God is inviting all of us to be intimate with him. That should be good news to you. We're almost done. Okay, I'm really sloppy. Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Jesus promises just before he leaves. In Isaiah it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, where is God the Father? I asked it at starting point. Where's God the Father? He's in heaven. Where's the Son? By the Father at his right hand. But how do we say God is everywhere? He's everywhere by the Spirit. Are you with me? So who's here? Who's in your room tomorrow morning? When you say, God, I'm taking this hour, I'm not answering my phone, I'm sitting here to read your word and to speak with you. Who's there in your room? The Holy Spirit. Spirit of power, of counsel, and might is there to meet, not the pastor, each one of you. It's so important to me. Number three, God's power works in you and through you, through the Holy Spirit. When you start to develop a personal relationship with God, you grow in power. It's not like you're amazing, but suddenly stuff that intimidated you said, I'm not intimidated by this anymore. I can do this. I can sense this is in God's will, so I can say, I can do all things through Christ. I can make this. And so this is a fruit of people who develops an intimate relationship between their self and God. They become powerful. They become bullish. Okay, so the enemy wants to challenge me this week with this. Let me tell you what, I can conquer all things through Christ. It's the voice that starts to come out of the person that spends time with God. Difficult situation comes up, someone at work comes by, they speak death and say, you'll never make it, your budget's never going to work. And as they speak, something goes on. That's a lie. God is with me and he's going to carry me through it. And so you see this conversation from the Spirit coming up, and it always have the smell of victory. Yes, we're going through a tough time, but our marriage will make it. We will make it. Not going to give up. It's not an option. You see, God is giving the smell of conquering to those who spend time with him. Isn't that amazing? And the last one, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Things that happen to people when you remain intimate with God. Number four is your eternal destiny start to define your earthly assignment. All right? Your eternal destiny defines how you live on earth. So often in the Bible, if you especially read in Romans, you'll hear Paul speaks about the flesh and about the spirit. Are you with me? The flesh and the geest. And so he'll say something like, in the flesh you cannot please God, but in the spirit you can please God. Why? Because only God can sustain the spirit. And God is saying, one day you're coming back to him. And if I'm going back to God and I realize how short life is, then I start to live on earth with my eyes on my final place of arrival. So why is Hanu and Estelle newly married wasting a week of their life going to Zimbabwe? They get nothing for it. Cost their marriage budget at least 6,000 rand, I think, for this trip. Leave, effort. Why? It doesn't make sense to the flesh. Doesn't make sense in the bank account, but it makes sense to the place where they are going. And so believers that are plugged in, as you start to see heaven defining earth, not the other way around. Believers that are plugged into God tend to be very generous people because they experience a generous God. Are you with me? And so the generosity of God in heaven, they express through earth. The love they get in the mornings from God, which is a love that always forgives their sins, they tend to be very forgiving on earth. You see, heaven comes from their intimacy into their life on earth. It's the opposite of what this world will often say is wise. That's why Scripture says in, I think, 1 Corinthians, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God, but God has chosen the foolishness of this world to honor His name. And so at this church, we love church meetings and we want to grow this meeting. We want more people to hear the word of God. We want to send more teams away. We want this meeting to be great. Amen. We want our small groups to do great, but we don't want to stop there. We want you to grow yourself. We want you to have an opinion about the Bible. If I say something that does not make sense, you should be able to come and say, yes, Ivaris, I read last week this passage, but now I don't understand how it fits with yours. That's healthy. Amen. Imagine you just take everything I say. It's wrong. Because God and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power and counsel of might, is in you also. Isn't that just amazing, guys? We answer you in it. Amen, man. Amen. Thank you, Vian. Let's go to the next slide. So how do we focus on the self part? Okay, there's church, there's small group. In this congregation, what we tend to do is we've got an encounter series. Encounter 1 to encounter 4. It's not levels. It's just you can't teach someone everything on one occasion. And so I want to invite you, if you're new around here and if you want to plant yourself here, do the encounters, because it shows you who God is and helps you to worship Him more freely. Encounter 1, 2, 3, and 4. 3 and 4, we're going on to the place where of forgiveness and how, and we also talk about demons, we talk about spiritual activity and how that influences your house. We take you through the mature conversation, because you need to champion your own home. Right? I'm not in your marriage and I don't live in your house. And so when something in your house happens that bothers you, God placed you there and we want to teach you to pray. Amen. And then we've got something we call accountability groups. And that is just where we encourage people to meet. Can I have your bookie, Carla? We encourage people to get one of these little booklets, get an accountability partner, agree on a book of a Bible to read and read it that week. Sit the next week, come with your notes and speak through it chapter for chapter for 6 weeks. Why? Because you must read the word for yourself. And so this is something we do, informal accountability groups, meets in coffee shops or homes or any parki or local. And we just really encourage everyone to pick up the Bible. When we open the Bible, our lives start to change. Isn't that amazing? If you want any more info, we'll help you at the Connect table. This is just for us to understand, why do we do what we do? Because I'll make a promise to you. We don't guess about what to do. We try and look at Scripture and give this congregation the best possible chance to grow into God, into full maturity. And so with Hanu and the team in Zimbabwe, I'm the pastor. I'm not leading the mission team. Hanu leads the mission team. There's a mission team going with Vessel to Mozambique in 2 weeks, 22nd of April. There's another mission team going to Zim a bit later. I'm not on one of them because I'm not the expert. It's my job to do this on Sundays. You see, and so for each one of you guys, there's a place that God wants to use you. And for me, I would go to bed with a smile if you start to discover how God wants to use you. And it's never too late. Amen? It's never too late. Let's stand up tonight. Let's stand up and finish off. Next week, we're finishing off with the last S of what we're doing. And it's Nisokini. That's also okay. I want you to close your eyes where you are standing, and I want to ask you, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Because if there's one thing I know, then it is that God speaks to each one of us. Sure, I speak on Sunday nights for some time here in front, But it's only to give you a tool, and then God speaks from there and he tells you how to use it. Yo, I trust you guys. And I really believe in each one of you. Ek glo regtig, regtig aan julle. Elke besigheid waar julle ouens werk, die Here gaan daai plek aanraak. Amen. Elkeen van julle wat 'n besigheidseienaar is, dit is fantasties. He placed you there. Honor him in each and every way. I'm actually just feeling on my heart that some of you guys here, you really have bitterness towards the place where you are working. And maybe this is a word for someone, but I feel it strongly. God is not going to take you away just yet. Because you cannot be defined by the place you work. You define that place. Because you're the one that's got access to heaven in the morning. And then you walk to that company and you bring a culture into that place. And so God, hy is asprys met jou. He wants you to grow and do so well. Some of you, you're just going to surprise yourself as God starts to work through you. Isn't that amazing? You were made. You were called forth from God.